If you would, turn again, once again, to the book of Galatians. What's the big picture of Galatians? How does one have a relationship with the God of the Bible? Basic question of Galatians. What is the proper approach to be related to the God of the Bible? We saw that approach, and I heard it in the audience, that approach is by faith. In the old covenant, it was still by faith. You approach God by faith, but to prepare a people, to teach, to instruct on the righteousness of God, even though you were saved by faith, God instructed His people in the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, by revealing His righteousness through the law. And they were told, in order to understand, though they're saved by faith, they were to keep the covenant by obedience to law. All of that was preparatory. The law was a tutor to teach them of what God required. The requirements of law to instruct us that, guess what? There's no way we can keep rules to make ourselves pleasing to God. The whole Mosaic covenant was to render people to understand that we're always saved by faith, trust in Jesus Christ. Once Jesus Christ came, He inaugurated the new covenant. The new covenant was inaugurated through His death on the cross. The whole of the old covenant pointed toward Jesus and what He would do. Once the new covenant arrived under Jesus, the old covenant and its rules and regulations have passed from the scene. But unfortunately, in many of Paul's congregations, there were people that started coming into those congregations and began to preach Moses and the law. They didn't understand that Moses and the law was a temporary covenant to teach them of God's requirements, to show them that they were sinners and that they needed God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. So Paul goes around preaching and teaching on the new covenant, and that trust in Jesus Christ gives the proper relationship to God, but he was undermined by those who were preaching Moses. So in the first two chapters, he's talked about the origin of his teaching, and he said some amazing things. If you go away from Jesus Christ and the new covenant and go back to the old covenant, which was merely preparatory for the new, instruction for the new, you have fallen from grace. And he said something that really was stunning. If we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you received, and that includes Moses in the old covenant, let them be accursed. Because once Jesus Christ came and inaugurated the new covenant through his death upon the cross, Moses in the old covenant was completely removed. But there's something about sinful nature that we think we can earn our way to God. Paul will say in Romans that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Now that doesn't mean that we can do anything we want. It means, though, that a proper relationship to God only comes by being in proper relationship to the new covenant and Jesus who inaugurated that new covenant. As a matter of fact, he calls these people that were preaching Moses and get under the law and 2:4 as false brethren. You got to listen to preachers. If preachers do not glorify Jesus Christ in the new covenant, then they get into some dire warnings from Paul. He would call them false brethren. And Paul starts to ferret out in chapter 3 that we've been looking at for many weeks. Who truly is a person who is in the new covenant? And we're finding out something. Under the old covenant, you had to be related to Abraham and Sarah by physical relationship. Under the new covenant, God always intended for children in the new covenant to be related only on this basis. On the basis of faith and trust in what Jesus had done. We found out that under the new covenant, it isn't physical relationship to Abraham that makes God your father and Abraham your spiritual father. We found out in 3:7 that therefore in the new covenant, it is those who are of faith in Jesus who are sons of Abraham. Under the old covenant, you had to have a pedigree. Because God was bringing in the Messiah, and it mattered under the old covenant who was related, because it was to prove Jesus' pedigree of being the Savior. Once Jesus came, that's all gone. If you are not in faith, trust of Jesus Christ, you are not a child of Abraham. For in the new covenant, physical lineage to Abraham does not matter. That means this. If there's someone who's physically related to Abraham but has not trusted in Jesus as Messiah, they are not related to Abraham in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, Jesus saw two ways. The first way, if you follow Jesus and trust in him, you are his child. But Jesus told those who were physically related to Abraham who didn't believe in him, who didn't trust in him, you are of your father, the new covenant is different. The old covenant prepared it. The new covenant has abrogated any idea of physical connection to Abraham. To be in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. You have to have trusted Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to be a true child of God. Therefore, be sure it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Now, who are those dirty, stinking Gentiles? That's anyone that's not physically related to Abraham or Sarah. God never planned to exclude anybody on the basis of your physical lineage from the promises of God. Preach the gospel to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. In other words, it isn't the physical lineage of Abraham that matters. In the new covenant, it's those who are like their father Abraham. I can't think of something that would be so terrible as to not know who your daddy is. Today, they need that information when you sit at the doctor and they say, what did your mother and father die of? What did, you know, what diseases are in you? You have no idea. Here, it is this. So then, verse 9, those who are of faith are the children of Abraham and are blessed with Abraham. And we went through the Abrahamic covenant where God said, I'm going to bless you, and in the whole world, you are going to bless everybody in the world. And it is those who are of faith that are blessed with Abraham. Faith in what?
Christ.
Jesus. And Paul told us another thing in 3:14. That it is through faith that Christ redeemed us from the old covenant, and that the blessings of Abraham come in the new covenant to those who trust Jesus. Look at 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive in the new covenant the blessings promised in the new covenant through faith. Now, Paul goes on to say something that is so important, so misunderstood, so badly preached. He goes on to tell us something. He's told us that the old covenant under Moses was preparatory. It was to show us we are sinners, and God always designed that it would be the new covenant under Christ where we would receive the blessings of Abraham. That you don't have to be physically related to Abraham. As a matter of fact, physical lineage does nothing in the new covenant. There's nothing special about someone who's physically related to Abraham. Nothing if they're in unbelief. Because they receive none of the promises of God, because it is always through Christ. Now look at verse 15 as we begin this morning. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his... All right, now we have to understand a connection here that's very important. In the weeks before, we've been talking about the promise to Abraham in Genesis 15, Genesis 12, and other places where it said, I'm going to bless you. That was you singular. It was not you plural. What does that mean? That it is bad theology. It is wrong to say that he was talking to Abraham and to anybody, you all that are physically related to him. He was not. If you are physically related to Abraham and Jewish and you don't believe, you get nothing of the Abrahamic covenant. It doesn't apply to you. You get nothing from it. Jesus told the Jews who did not believe in him, you're of your father the... That's the fact of the new covenant. In the new covenant, physical lineage is abrogated, removed. Therefore, an unbelieving Jewish person has nothing. They receive nothing from the promises of Abraham. And I'm going to show you how this works. For in the Abrahamic covenant, it said, I will bless them that bless you, Abraham. So, I've heard this theology out there that is totally nonsense. Don't speak against the Jewish nation of Israel or God will curse you. That is not what that is saying whatsoever. That is bad theology. That is false teaching. That is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you're related to Abraham physically and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you get nothing. Because it says here, he spoke to Abraham and to his... Now, this is back in Genesis 22. If you'll hold your finger there, and we'll go to Genesis 22. This is that story we looked at last week or the week before, where Abraham is going to offer Isaac... Because God said, I want your son. It was a test of affection. And he said this. because you have not withheld your only son. Verse 17 of 22 of Genesis 17, I will greatly bless you. That is you singular. It is not you plural. To say that an unbeliever physically related to Abraham gets anything of the Abrahamic covenant is unbiblical and false teaching. That won't make me popular among some of my friends because I've heard that all my life in the groups I run. To bless Israel, you get the blessing. To curse, no. When Israel does things that are not biblical, including reject my Savior, they get nothing. I'm sorry, that's the way it is, and I don't apologize for it. It says, Abraham, because you withheld your only son, I will bless you. Singular. And it's only you, Abraham, because you are of faith. What did God do every time Israel rejected him? He rejected them. There's never in this teaching in the Old Testament that you get everything even if you don't believe in Jesus. That is a blasphemy of the blood of Jesus Christ and the bride that he bought by his blood. And it says here, and I will greatly multiply your seed. Now, that word in the original is singular. He didn't say seeds. So it goes from Abraham, you Abraham, to your seed. Who's his seed? Well, Paul tells us that. Now let's go back to Galatians. This is what the New Testament teaches. And God spoke to Abraham, verse 16, to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say into seeds. What he's saying is this. You related to Abraham and you're not in Jesus Christ and you're not a person of faith in Jesus Christ, guess what you get? You don't get land promises. You don't own the Middle East. That's only those who are in faith of Jesus Christ. Think the way the Bible does. He does not say unto seeds as to many, but one, and to your seed, which is Messiah Jesus. Therefore, if you want those promises of Abraham, you have to be Abraham's child, and that child is only by faith in Jesus Christ. And then you get those promises of Abraham. It is only through Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, nothing. Now let me show you how this works. Hold your finger in Galatians and let's go to Romans 9. Where Paul brings this up again. 9:6 and following. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are from Israel. What makes a person a true follower then? Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, and he means physically, but through Isaac, your descendants will be called. Now, wait a second. What does that mean? Well, watch how he brings this out. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God. Did you just hear that? You could be a card-carrying, physical, related to Abraham. And guess what? If you're not in Christ, guess what you get? Nothing. Boy, that's not in the theology of John Hagee. He's been saying that people who are physically Jewish that don't accept Christ will still be saved. That's blasphemy of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is unbiblical. It says here, But the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. What's the promise? The promise of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Now watch how this works. For this is a word of promise. At the time I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when there was Rebekah, when she had conceived, you remember the story of Rebekah and Isaac. The thing I'll always remember is, guess what Isaac gave her as an engagement? A nose ring. It's cultural. We give rings on the ringy finger. She had beautiful gold nose ring. So the next time you see all those kids wearing all that kind of stuff, don't forget, it's cultural. Twins. Esau and Jacob. Tell me the genetic difference between twins. Physically, the genetic difference. In other words, Jacob and Esau were both equally apart physically of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. Physically. But guess what God did? He chose one over the other, not on the basis of their physical connection, but on their basis of whom he wanted to choose based on the promise. And it says this, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose according to his choice might stand, not because of works, but him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, and Esau I didn't choose. What is this meaning? It means when God makes a choice, he chose Jacob not because he was related physically, but because he decided on his sovereignty to give it to them. And it had nothing to do with the physical connection. He chose on the basis of not being physically related, but on his choice. Sovereignly, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It is not the children of the flesh who are children of God. What was that all about then, Pastor Dave? They had to have a genealogy and all of this. That was to prepare for Messiah so everybody would know he had the qualifications to redeem the whole world. But God did not decide just to redeem one group of people. As a matter of fact, Jesus announced this in John chapter 10. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 16. I'm thankful that God didn't just choose one group. He was going to include us all. Look at what 10:16 says. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. When Jesus said that, that's you. You weren't Jewish, were you? He had other sheep from another fold. Now notice what he says. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become how many flocks? In the new covenant, there is only one flock. Don't give me this bit that there are two flocks. There is one church and one flock. And it isn't on the basis of your physical lineage. It's on your basis of being in faith from Abraham to the seed Christ to you being in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're not a descendant of Abraham. And if you're not a descendant of Abraham, all the blessings of Abraham are not coming your way. Otherwise, Christ died needlessly. So to put Gentiles back under the old covenant is to force them in a direction that God never intended. One flock. So we go back to Galatians. He spoke to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say seeds, but many that is in Christ. And unless you're related to Jesus Christ, by the way, true or false, an Egyptian who has trusted Jesus Christ as his and her Savior has all the blessings of Abraham that God promised, true or false? Okay, you're doing pretty good. An unbelieving Jew in Israel who is a citizen of Israel who rejects Christ has all of the promises of Abraham. Why then do I hear John Hagee saying these things? He's told them that you don't need to accept Jesus because of the promises to Abraham. You will get in even if you don't believe in Jesus. That is from the pits of hell. Yeah. Well, it's unbiblical, and John Hagee better repent. Can't stand it when they do stuff like that. Apart from Jesus Christ, we get nothing because he was the promised seed. What am I saying? The law, which came 430 years after, did not invalidate the previous covenant. For if inheritance is based on law, then it is no longer based on promise. God has granted it to Abraham only by means of promise. Why then the law? If it was never intended to be that way. By the way, how much does an unbelieving citizen of Israel have if they don't believe in Jesus? How much do they have? Al has more, as all the Abrahamic covenant promises, and he's an Egyptian. You won't hear that today, will you? Guess who the chosen people are? Do you know who the chosen people are? Those in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you are not chosen. Now that's what the Bible teaches. I say that imploring the nation of Israel to repent. They get nothing. By the way, why are they back in the land? No, they're back in the land because they think because of Abraham that they should get that based on their physical lineage. Guess what they get? That's what the Bible teaches. That's going to make me... I have a book, Anti-Semitism in the New Testament. The lady's going to call me an anti-Semite because I said that. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not anti-Semitic, it's biblical. The only way you get anything of the promises of Abraham is through what? That's it. Faith in Jesus Christ. So when I get these magazines, Israel My Glory, I go, excuse me, if they don't believe in Jesus, there's no glory. Israel My Chosen, not if they don't believe in Jesus. And who are the people of God? That Egyptian, three rows back, is the seed of Abraham, gets all the Abrahamic blessings, and if he sat next to a physical Jewish person who didn't believe, who Christ rejected, my Savior, gets nothing. Now that tells you one thing. Every time God dealt with his people in the Old Testament, if they didn't believe in him, what happens? And he booted them from the land. That means you could see this nation called Israel today get booted from the land because they're not in covenant relationship through the seed, Jesus Christ. Now, that's not preached by many evangelicals today. Why? Well, it's not popular. Preaching what the Word says often is not popular. That means this. You have all the stake in what God gave to Abraham because it's those who are of faith in Jesus, the seed, that get the promises of Abraham. That the blessings of Abraham might come to us who are in Christ. This is so important that we understand what the Bible says. Apart from Jesus Christ, it isn't physical relationship. Never look at a guy with a yarmulke praying in front of the Wailing Wall as a child of Abraham. They may be physically related to Abraham, but guess what? The only thing that makes you genuinely in God's eyes, according to the Word, an actual child of Abraham, the way it counts in the new covenant, is what? That is it. the seed. And when you are in faith in Christ, all of Abraham's promises are yours. Because he said, Paul said, the gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel in you, Abraham, the whole world, not some, but the whole world would be blessed. That's what the Bible says. Good luck on theologies that say something different. So guess what? The next time you look in a mirror, just ask yourself this: how am I in a proper relationship to God? Are you in Christ? Then if you say yes, then you are Abraham's true seed. And you are the heir of all the promises of Abraham that he made, because God always intended it to be that way. I have sheep that are not of this flock, and I will make them one. That's why Paul will say, there is neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. It's not what man teaches or your study Bible notes teach. But we preach what the Word says and let the chips fall where they may.